B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's Nerd Radio! I'm still riding high off of some WrestleMania. It's Chuck Bean hanging out with you, and we're starting talking about last weekend's WrestleMania, because it was basically 5 days of wrestling. Erica?
What's up?
Joining the show right from the get-go. James, as always,
hello.
Great to see you. Glad that all three of us made it through a week of wrestling.
Yeah. It was close.
Essentially. Because not only was there, you know, massive WWE stuff going on, but, you know, every independent wrestling corporation that wasn't WWE had an event this weekend as well, and it was a lot of stuff, a lot of news to come out of it, so we're going to dive right in to start off this week's show. And let's start off with the reason we're all here, the Beasley Media Detroit Mania Fantasy League. I'd like to announce officially our World Heavyweight Champion. In fact, not only do the women get to main event WrestleMania this year, but Erica coming in first place, clearing like almost 300 points over second place.
I
smoked us.
Yes. Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I think, did anyone see my celebratory tweet on on Twitter, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, about
my Chandler Bing.
Yes.
I win, you suck, I rule all, mini wave in celebration of me. Woo! So basically, I'm a very, very good winner.
Yes.
No, it was fun. It's nice to win, but it was the only thing really keeping me involved in WWE leading up to WrestleMania, because I had a hard go at some of the Raws and other storylines.
Sure.
On the road to WrestleMania. It was a tough lead up for me.
Sure. Now, there was our podcast along with Around the Ropes with Ryan, and then Top Three over at 105.1. So you won for us.
Damn straight,
like,
did.
As it says, so
we're a champion.
Suck it, guys. But let's go over the actual standings. Like I said, Erica comes in with like 1,733 points. The next highest would be Justin from Top Three. He came in with 1,478.
It was cute.
Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you, James. That was awesome. The appropriate response.
She's talking trash. It's already over. She's talking trash.
I ran into him in the hall, and he didn't bring up any of the fantasy stuff, but he did have some hot takes on some stuff that's going on in the wrestling world. And I'm like, okay, maybe there is a reason why I won. Yeah.
All right. Well, third place went to Ryan from 94.7. I pulled in fourth place. Thank you, AJ Styles and Baron Corbin. We've got James.
Look,
you
at that.
Fifth
not
place.
In last place. Yeah.
Mazel tov, James.
Right behind
thank
me.
Thank you, Kofi, and thank you, Seth Rollins.
Absolutely. And then the last two places went to the other two guys from Top Three. So it was a lot of fun. We'll have to do this again next year. Hopefully the other guys can pull it together so we don't dominate them. But let's talk about the events themselves that happened at WrestleMania. How much of it, first of all, did each of you guys get to watch over the weekend?
In terms of just watching wrestling, I made it from like the opening match of WrestleMania to whenever Finn came out as the demon, and then I fell asleep.
And then so, you were done?
Yeah.
It's a long show.
Yeah, it's super long, and there's a lot of the stuff that's happening over the weekend I'm not as vested in, like NXT
right.
and all
or
that.
Or the Hall of Fame kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, actually, I watched the Hall of Fame, but that was not like when it was airing. I watched like the replay only, and that was only because I heard somebody came and beat the crap out of Bret Hart.
Right.
What?
When I first, because I on Sunday morning, I worked the overnight, so I didn't watch a Hall of Fame live. I'm like, oh, I'll watch it while I'm, you know, I'll just have it on at work so I can hear some of the stuff that happened. So when I woke up to go to work Sunday at like 1 a.m, and I hear, the first thing I hear is that somebody attacked Bret Hart. I'm like, that can't be real.
Mm-hmm. No, it was one of those things like, what's this clickbait?
That's
going to be another wrestler or something stupid to make me click this link.
They did that so that people would watch the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame typically, like, it's the old timers talking. And they
oh,
go
so,
on
such long
forever.
Speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Brutus the Barber, enough! Enough already, Brutus! You're killing me.
But no, that was some of the big news that came out. Some dude, and part of it is the fact that typically they have the stage and then they have like 20 rows of wrestlers before that. And this year they decided to just put it in a ring in the middle of the thing and then have a couple rows of wrestlers and then some of the fans as well. It's just like, okay, well, that's why.
Yeah, well, admittedly, it was a pretty cool setup because they had, usually it's Hall of Fame, NXT, WrestleMania. They switched the Hall of Fame and NXT around because of the G1 Supercard that was running on Saturday night. So admittedly, like when I first saw the setup, I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. Like, it's something different. Like, look at the WWE trying something different because they already had the ring set up. And then when Bret Hart got tackled, I'm like, well, they're not doing that again next year.
Nope. I think we're going back to the old setup after that this year.
So you think it's they're trying something new? I feel like they set it up just like they would for like a Raw show. They're like, hey, you know what? We know how to do this. We can do this quick, easy, simple. Set it up like we're doing a wrestling show.
Well, that may have had something to do with it, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, traditionally, like the way the Hall of Fame is set up, they've never really done it in the ring.
Okay.
It's just because the NXT show was the night before and the ring was already there. It's like, we don't really want to take it down.
Okay.
I think it was laziness.
We have so much to do this weekend.
Exactly.
Can we just leave
so
this?
So is it the same place as where the NXT took place?
Yes.
Oh, that's exactly what it
the
was.
The night before. Yeah. So yeah, you're probably onto something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It probably has a lot to do it. I said probably around this time last year that I was going to start watching NXTs after WrestleMania because they tend to take away from the main event whenever there's an NXT takeover. With NXT takeover being on Friday, I figured I've got an entire day to come down and then watch WrestleMania. So I watched NXT pretty much live.
Nice.
And I got to say, the match of the weekend was the opener for NXT.
That was something else.
They had a tag team match. Was Aleister Black and Ricochet. And against the War Machine, and it was jaw dropping.
War Raiders.
I'm sorry, War Raiders.
I know they had to rebrand.
But the time that match was
Marvel.
Over, I already kind of liked Ricochet. By the time that match was over, Ricochet is now my favorite wrestler.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he's great. I enjoy watching him. I really like Aleister Black more.
Aleister Black is great too.
He's great.
From his weird entrance to where he's coming out of the ground. Like, is he the Undertaker? Is he not the Undertaker? Is he undead? Is he alive?
That's what I always try and when people, like, I had people over Sunday to watch WrestleMania and they don't watch all the events. So they're like, who's this Aleister Black guy? I was like, well, imagine if the Undertaker was smaller and a kickboxer from a Dutch kickboxer.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you're getting here.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen Aleister Black emote. He's always just straight faced.
Oh, yeah.
He just is.
Yeah. So, but it was, that was a fantastic match. It was a great card, but this is the first NXT where that match was so good. By the time the UK championship match happened, I was done. Like, I'd gone through two matches, which were okay, but not as great as the thing I saw at the beginning.
What I thought they did a really good job of at NXT was they had very entertaining wrestling across five different matches, but very different styles of wrestling. Obviously, you had that first match, the opening match with the tag team match. Unreal athleticism, unreal spots. I Roar Raiders, let me tell you, I like big guys who can do flippy crap.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Yes.
It is the coolest thing just to see, like, that guy's like 350 pounds, and he just did like a handspring into like a moonsault. Something crazy.
That's the War Raiders.
They're
for sure.
Awesome. And the fact that they just love Viking crap, I mean, it's like sweet. You wear your helmets and your face paint, it's lovely.
And it was cool that it was a good guys versus good guys match. And when it ended, there was that mutual respect. And you also had that moment in the ring with where you could see Ricochet kind of tearing up, because that's probably their last NXT appearance.
Probably.
From here on out, they are main roster.
You think they're going to, the superstar shakeup or whatever, and officially bring them in?
That's what I'm thinking.
Those guys have been busy, man. They've been on TV, NXT,
NXT,
SmackDown, Raw, they're on all of them.
For like a month.
Yeah, the last few weeks has been, I'm like,
they are everywhere.
No offense, I like the guys, but I'm starting to get sick of them. Like, they're on TV every single time I turn on the TV. There they are again.
Right. The rest of the card was fantastic. I know you were a big fan of, help me out here.
Walter. Is it Pete Dunne? I'm a fan of all of those.
Let me check my hunk list. Who am I a fan of?
What was the North American Championship match?
Oh, Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Versus
Matt Riddle.
That was, Matt Riddle got his first loss.
Yep.
Velveteen Dream's entrance alone, I'm like, damn. Come on. He's like, no, I'm just going to be the Statue of Liberty and they're going to carry me in.
Right. But they had that one guy that was in the front right, that was, because they were carrying him like the Macho Man, like on the throne. But the guy in the front right that was holding it had this like swooping haircut. and I couldn't stop looking at him.
The swooping hair stole the show, huh?
Yeah, they didn't just have like four
randos.
Yeah, rando guys with like shaved heads or anything like that, like regular wrestler looking guys. Like, who's the dude with the swoopy haircut? It's the guy with the undercut. What's going on here? But yeah, it was good, but I was so spent after that first match that I was like, okay. And then, like I said, the UK match is a different style of wrestling.
Right.
Apparently, it's not a style of wrestling that I'm super into.
It's okay.
Halfway through the match, I was just like, I'm done. I got to go to bed.
Lots of technical moves and technical holds. The Brits love that crap.
The ladies' Fatal 4-Way was really good. I did tune in Saturday morning after I woke up and had some sleep. I tuned in and checked out what I'd missed. And I really, Gargano versus Adam Cole was worth it.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Definitely,
absolutely.
Definitely a more traditional WWE style match. Like that opening tag match is very like NXT centric with the fun spots and all that jazz. But, like you can tell like those dudes are ready to move up soon.
For sure. For sure. So we had a takeover on Friday. Then, like we said, the Hall of Fame. Bret Hart got a tax. DX got inducted. That was really fun and kind of neat. And then Sunday was the big event, which started at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so early.
What were some of the highlights for you guys?
Oh man, I'm trying to think highlight. For me, I think just the fact. Well, I was totally blown away that all of a sudden they got Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins off the
agreed.
Top
immediately.
Because somebody was like, "Whoa, wouldn't it be crazy if they did that?" I'm like, "They would never.
Right?
They would never. They're going out right before the league. Oh my god, they did it."
Paul Heyman comes marching out while Hulk Hogan's on the stage with Alexa Bliss. And you're like,
"Well played."
Mm-hmm. I was like,
"Very
wow,
cool.
I can't believe they actually did it." For me, I'm just happy to see some of the people that I want to win actually win.
Yeah.
Because when we talk like before and we're like, oh, there's no way everybody want to win. There's no way they're all going to win. And mm-hmm. I was like, in my heart of hearts, I was like, I wish they could. I just want them to win.
Yeah.
I just want them to win. We'll figure it out afterwards.
Can give us everything we want? Like maybe once a year?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be real happy.
Yeah. So I got everybody that I wanted to win once. I'm done. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. That's a wrap.
Excellent show. Did you enjoy the Dr. Thugonomics returning?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. Damn right I did. Oh, my God. I was so excited. It was embarrassing because I was at a Super Bowl party when it happened. So, it's kind of like dudes that are like, if you like John Cena, you're not really like a hardcore wrestling fan. So, I'm like, he's in
Elias.
I'm like, suck on that, Elias.
Amy actually said that because Elias had that thing where he was up on the screen, he was playing the drums, and he was playing the piano. And Amy said, I don't know if she tweeted it out, but you must have shamed him in how bad he sucks at guitar because now he's playing other instruments.
Yeah, she did tweet me that. Yeah, absolutely she did. Yeah, he does suck at guitar.
No, I got to tell you, I've watching him play at WrestleMania, the guy that sucks at guitar is not that good.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite thing, though, if they come from like the whole John Cena thing, was the one meme that came out was like me on LinkedIn. Me on Twitter. So you got like John Cena in the suit looking all nice.
Yeah,
and then
the
on Twitter,
thing,
you know, on Twitter, he's looking like the doctor of Thugonomics. I was like, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, actually, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the John Cena thing because that was probably my favorite moment.
The first thing I thought.
Yeah.
I was like,
well,
oh,
for me,
man.
I'm like, oh, Seth Rollins won, Kofi won, Finn Balor won.
Yeah.
I was not too worried about whoever won the main event. I was like, whatever. Well, I'll see where this goes. I'm excited. I'm assuming Becky Lynch is going to win because if she doesn't, that's, I don't know where they go from here.
Right.
But yeah, man, the Doctor of Thugonomics showing up.
I was joking that after, I think it was right after Kofi won, that I was starting to feel like an abused girlfriend. There's too many good things that happened.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Right.
Erica, what were your highlights this weekend?
I'd have to echo James's sentiment. And I know a lot of other people have said this. You know, this is easily one of the most feel-good WrestleManias.
For sure.
In a long, long time. In so far as like just pretty much everyone that everyone loved won.
Yeah.
And like, while there were a few surprises here and there, I laughed my ass off, by the way, when Shane McMahon won. And
that was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I laughing. Oh, my God. I'm once again, my poor old man neighbor is just probably like, this bitch is loud all the time. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's wrestling, man. I'll be quiet soon.
But, get the earplugs. Wrestling's on.
Pretty much. And I mean, very few disappointments. I mean, the Kurt Angle match, meh, you wish he got a better send-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think any of us were really going into that match expecting, like, oh, this is going to be good.
Right.
There's very few lulls, despite the fact that it was an crazy length show, like, well over 7 hours. They have to do something about the length.
Yeah.
They have to. It's too much. And I understand they want to give you know, everyone a payday, make sure everyone makes the card. And I can respect that. I would never want to stand in the way of anyone getting paid.
Right.
But it's too much.
It's a lot.
It's too much.
I think we said last year that the WrestleMania needs to be like a 2-day event, kind of like the Lollapalooza or the rock, you know, festivals you go to where it's like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Like WrestleMania needs to be at least 2 days if you're going to have that much going on.
Right.
Like give us a Saturday WrestleMania and then a Sunday WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think pre-show for the next WrestleMania starts tomorrow.
Yes,
maybe
it does.
It's
tomorrow
not
night on the USA Network. I believe
on the USA Network. Nice, you got the right plug in too. Yeah.
You were saying that you were extremely loud and laughing about the Shane McMahon thing. Everybody in the room was dying during the tag team match when Cesaro was just doing the spin,
and Sheamus is doing all those chops.
Sheamus just grabs one guy after another and gives him the 10 beats.
Yeah.
And like the first or second time, I was like, all right, this is funny. But then by the time he gets to the third or fourth guy, we're just howling. It was amazing. Now, lots of great stuff. Like you said, it's probably one of the best WrestleManias in recent memory. However, there were a couple of things that were definitely very odd. And I think the top among them is the finish for the women's match at the end of the night.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say best WrestleMania. I think last WrestleMania was better than this one. I think, once again, feel good moment wise.
Yeah.
This was outstanding. But yeah, that finish, considering the incredible build of that feud, considering the historical ramifications of the women headlining, to have it go out like that, and nothing was said on Raw afterwards.
Right.
Nothing. So I'm sure in the coming weeks, maybe months, when Ronda appears again, we might learn more. Because like, there has been radio silence from her.
Right.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah, because some people are saying something got botched and whatever the ending.
But yeah, she had her shoulder up while the ref was counting, and nobody knows if he wasn't supposed to count or he was supposed to count. And it was like, whose fault is it that this was weird? Yeah.
I feel like that was all. To me, every time something happens to me, I'm like, it's all work. I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, good, you noticed? They wanted you to
notice. Yeah, exactly.
They want you to tweet about it. They want your outrage.
Yeah, totally. And I have to say, Monday night, the main event, which was supposed to be Kofi and Seth.
Yeah.
To combine the titles, getting the bar to run in and stop that.
Weird.
Was a huge misstep. In so much as the crowd started chanting AEW at them.
Good.
Did they? Oh, yeah. I didn't catch. I was asleep and by the time that happened.
I kind of hope that that's the norm from now on when they make a very questionable decision, that the crowd will just chant the other organization at them.
It's the new CM Punk chant.
Right.
I hope so. Because, you know, they're going to love it in the back.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know about you guys, but I had a great 5 days of wrestling.
I had a lot of fun too. I always need a break.
Yeah, I'm always worried that Amy's gonna be like, can we not wrestling tonight? Can we please?
You're like, but baby, it's Wednesday night, it's NXT, we gotta watch it.
So I had a great time. I'm glad you guys had a great time. I'm glad we all did well in the fantasy league.
Dude, I'm so glad I wasn't last. My first venture into fantasy sports, and if I was dead last, I would have told you guys to suck it next year. And you're like, we're going to do it again. I'm like, oh, yeah? And I'll tell you what you can do with your little fantasy league.
Right, but see, now you've learned lessons that you can apply next year. Like, don't take Brock Lesnar because he's only going to show up 3 times.
Yeah.
Take a guy that's going to show up every week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I kind of tried to do with most of the other guys.
Right.
Just, we'll get into strategies next year.
That's true. All right, well, speaking of getting into strategies, let's get into some news with Al Beck. We're coming back with more Nerd Radio. Erica, we will talk to you again very soon.
Our championess,
that's
Erica.
Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, this is Billy West, your old pal. And this is Philip J. Fry, you know, 25-year-old pizza delivery boy. And I was sitting here listening to Nerd Radio. It's real cool.
You don't know anything about radio. Listen to me. I was a radio guy, and I know better than you. Kip, alert the men. I've made it with a woman. On Nerd Radio?
Are we ready?
I'm ready. Yeah,
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and wherever you're getting your podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. Al Beck.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
James, welcome back to the show.
I'm back.
Now that we,
I'm back from the break.
Right. Now that we've reset after the break, after talking some wrestling, because that was essentially what my entire weekend was made up of.
And your birthday.
And my birthday.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, for sure. That's part, I think that's part of the reason I love wrestling and WrestleMania and everything like that, because it usually falls really close to my birthday.
Has it ever fallen on your birthday?
It did this year.
Did it? Oh, yeah. Well, happy birthday from Vince McMahon.
I know, right? That's, maybe that's perfect. Why we got all the good guys winning.
I hope so. I hope that's why.
It was a birthday gift.
It was a birthday gift for you and
Vinnie
I
Mac.
Got to reap the benefits of.
I'm down with that.
That's awesome.
I appreciate that for sure. So let's talk about some stuff. What's going on?
That's what we're here to do.
Stuff.
What's going on in the world?
You know, things.
Yeah, well, okay, this... Al, I know you're a big space guy, so I'm sure you've seen somebody.
A big space guy.
People have tweeted this to you already. So astronomers have the first picture of a black hole ever.
You know what? Jason and I were just talking about this before I came in here, and cool, but yeah. I thought like the mass and gravity of a supermassive black hole. Like I thought light couldn't escape it. So how can you photograph something that you can't get light off of?
I was under the impression you can't get close enough to a black hole to take a picture of it. It'll just suck you right in.
Well, you know. Depending on, we take pictures of some stuff that's pretty far away.
Yeah, I guess.
So
it looks like the Hyosauron.
It does.
Right,
yeah.
Now. It just looks like the Hyosauron.
Yeah. I was not impressed. I've seen butthole pics that are cooler than that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got
also known as black holes.
Yeah.
We've got a
brown hole. Different dark hole.
Yeah. The brown hole.
This one blows air out instead of sucks
it
in.
Golden butthole over by the freeway.
Yeah. The golden butthole. Yeah. It's like a butthole takeover in this area of the world.
I can't wait to get the notes on this episode. Can you guys not say butthole so many times?
Yeah.
In your episode.
I wonder which bit of the show.
I hope they pull this for their Instagram.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You beat me to it.
Give us a little more.
Yeah.
Well, I know you want to keep people to check it out, but give us a little bit more.
Right. Well, I appreciate that they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We appreciate the extra push there.
Yep.
The reason I wanted to bring up the black hole, too, is because Amy, when I woke up this morning, Amy was like, hey, they got a picture of black hole. And she started singing black hole song. I'm like, no, I don't want to look at it. I don't want my face to warp. Like the freaking video, the Soundgarden video. No, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Plus, like I said, I know you're super interested in space.
I am interested in space. So I'm too stupid to understand it, but I'm very interested in it.
I figured you'd have something to say about it.
Yeah, I doubted it. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think light can escape a black hole, so taking a photo of it, I don't.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the announcement of Borderlands 3 was incoming, mm-hmm. and then we didn't get back to it. Borderlands 3 is coming out.
Is it?
September 13th, 2019. So it's a couple months away.
I'd say that's not too far at all, really.
And it looks
considering
like,
a lot of games that we've looked forward to is like, well, you'll get it in 4 years.
Yeah. Right.
And then we'll push it back.
Yeah. And it looks like it's definitely going to be just a regular return to form for Borderlands. 4 kind of new characters, some returning characters that'll be NPCs, lots of missions, lots of guns dropping all over the place.
For me, that'll probably be more of I find it at a resale
I'm
place,
sure.
you know, because as much as I love that first one.
Yep.
I think it was Borderlands. I don't think I got the pre-sequel, but Borderlands 2 I got, and I was like, yeah, this is fun, but it's the same game.
Right.
And I didn't play it for that long before I just shelved it.
I said this when they were making Borderlands 2 and then the pre-sequel, and they kind of made it in the pre-sequel. They made the grinder where you could take all the guns that dropped and you could shove them in this thing, but it would spit out another gun at random. Like, I want to just be able to craft my own gun.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Because everybody has a specific type of gun in Borderlands that you enjoy using.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just let me shove a bunch of guns in this thing and melt them down and then craft the gun I want instead of, oh, I got another stupid gun. Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw that away.
I am curious, because I think there is a Borderlands VR game.
Yeah, everybody's been saying I need to check it out or whatever.
I haven't tried it yet, but I assume it's going to be a very different experience than...
Yeah, I would think it's not just Borderlands 2 in VR.
Right.
I would think it's definitely some kind of different experience.
I guarantee it's not big enough to be like a full game.
Right.
Because after having played the VR, like the whole Batman thing.
It's a lot of puzzle type stuff.
A lot of puzzles. Like, I just
trying to
think...
put pieces in together or combine things. And
I think we'll get there. I just don't think we have the processing power yet to be able to really walk around and do a bunch of stuff. I'm surprised at how fluidly you can. I playing that Ace Combat VR game, the fighter pilot game. I'm surprised that I'm like flying around in this jet and giving myself motion sickness after playing some of the others and seeing how limited the movement is.
Right.
You know,
I would think that's part of it too. Why a lot of the VR games aren't really long or huge is because they understand it. It's like, I don't want you in this VR headset for longer than like an hour at a time.
Oh, they don't care about your health and safety. That's not it at all.
No, they put a warning right in the beginning when you start that game.
This is warning. It's called liability.
But they don't die actually playing this.
How many do there's been? Was it this people from? I was about to name companies. I'm going to leave that out of it. But there's like the companies that have like the big tablet things. Like the guys high up were like, oh, don't let my kids use that thing. Are you kidding? It's technology poison. But that was a real thing, and it was this one right here that I'm holding in my hand.
Oh, you like, got a poison tablet?
We give our children books. I've got paper.
Yep. So, so they know. They don't care. They just want to sell it. I just think that it looks great. James and I have talked about it on the show, and I think that's where all the processing power for the PS4 is going.
Just a quick little tip, because I don't know if you've experienced a little bit of the blurriness with it. Well, doing some research, I haven't tried it yet, but if you calibrate the VR headset to the distance between your pupils, it's supposed to correct that. And there's a way you can do it in the the PS4 like settings under your VR.
Really?
You can go in there and you can set stuff up to where if things aren't being picked up properly, you can like resync things, and then you can put in the distance between your pupils. It takes a picture of you. Then you set where one pupil is and you set where the other pupil is, and then it calibrates the VR distance between your pupils so the blurriness goes away. So that's my mission this weekend is to get rid of the blurriness.
To set it up.
So it's a free tip.
Nice.
Oh, my God. James is going to break his VR headset. I can see. Because every other person will sit down and do this in a minute and a half. James is going to take him 3 hours.
Yeah. Like, that's not my pupil. That's my retina. Wrong. No. Okay. No. The dark part of the, not the brown. No. That's the white part of the. Set the pupil, damn it. Please. And I put it on. It's even blurrier!
You know what's sad is I'm not even kidding. That's probably how this is going to go.
That's how it's going to work.
Because for some reason,
put that in your Twitch stream.
Yeah, well, if I can get stuff to work, I would. Trust me.
For some reason, James just has that luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the universe.
When it comes to the set. Well, yeah, I saw that last week when we were interviewing the Titans.
You
can
see it anyway.
Yeah, you saw it with my technology. You got the Titans that go up in here. I got the GoPro. The GoPro stops in the middle of the interview. Why? I don't know. I got my phone. Technology and the universe, I'm like the toilet to those things.
Yeah, no, it's true. I've known you long enough and seen enough of these stories. It's nothing you're doing.
Yeah, it's just weird how things work out. Like the easiest task that anybody can do, I try to attempt, and it's like the nightmare. Like a nightmare. It's like I can't think of the game where you go through the Dante's Inferno.
The seven layers of hell.
I have to go through seven layers of hell just to buy a Slurpee. Oh my God.
Yeah, and that's just how it works out for him. Like, I could go home today, calibrate my VR, find out it's a simple, easy thing, go over to James' house and say, I will help you, and for some reason it won't find his pupils.
Yeah.
Like
pupils not detected.
Yeah. My pupils are half dead, and I'll have an easier time setting it than James.
The gals are all fogged up. You can't even see them. You got glaucoma face over here. And then me, perfect 20/20 vision.
Please do not start tweeting glaucoma face. Hashtag glaucoma face in LMAC.
I don't even know if glaucoma has a face.
It is, and it's mine.
It's not like pedophilia.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Okay. We've gone too far. Too far.
There's a quote for your promotional posts on social media.
It's too far.
Pedophilia has a face. Y'all know it.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I found the only copy left of that Star Trek game.
That's right.
I had to hunt it down. It was the only copy at GameStop that was left in the Metro Detroit area, and grabbed it. And I played it over the weekend.
Just played
like the demo stuff of it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play it with you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't because me and you had talked about it, I think, off mic.
Yeah, we did.
And I was talking about how, like, you know, when you play with somebody online, you play like somebody drives the ship, and somebody's the weapons, and somebody's the engineering and stuff like that. And I was like, well, they got to make each of those interesting enough that you would want to do them, right? Yeah. They are.
Thing is, though, when you told me off mic your favorite position of staff.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the most boring one, but you enjoy it the most.
Yeah, I think engineering is great because you're diverting power, and then, like, you sometimes you have to take the power from one thing and, like, divert it over, which might start destroying the engines or something like that. And then you got to send crews over to fix them. I'm like, oh, this sounds like fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Sounds very complicated.
It does. Yeah,
I
no,
mean,
but
I guess you are flying a ship through space, so it should have some level of difficulty.
Yeah, the only thing that was weird was playing it by myself. You can issue commands to everybody, you've told us before, as the captain.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to issue the commands to, like, the guy who's driving to take us specifically.
The helmsman,
to take us specifically to the point I just hit on the map. So
I was like, you mean the helmsman?
Right. Well, I was getting to a point where I was like, all right, anyone who is into Star Trek listening
is
really upset. And I want to make sure they know, yes, we do know who the helmsman. Yeah.
You know who the helmsman
trying
is.
Trying to keep the core base of listeners happy, Al. Right. Yeah. Good. Good job.
Yeah, so I just took three over. Other people.
I just took over for the helmsman. I was like, I'll do just get move aside. And that was most of my playing by myself is just moving guys away. Get a move. I'll do it.
Yeah. I think I told you, I've helm is the only one I've really had to take over from the captain's chair because it's an AI and it'll sometimes get caught on something. You know, like it's supposed to, I'm trying to have it maneuver and align for, you know, a warp jump and it's stuck on an asteroid.
I was really concerned. I was really concerned. Like, we pulled up to this base and we teleported some dudes out of the base and then we had to warp someplace else. So I set warp and I told the guy to go, and I was real concerned he was going to try and warp right through it.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I'm just on the captain's chair doing...
Let me turn the ship a little bit.
Yeah,
okay, exactly. You can warp
now. You can do it, yeah, yeah.
I don't want you to kill us all.
And I'm just over there, friggin' Wrath of Khan. Full power! Damn you!
That's why I can't wait to play with you, because you can be the captain.
Oh,
you can yell at me for being bad at my job.
I shall avenge you.
And it'll be great.
To make you call him captain too,
probably.
It was. I know. I've told
it's Captain
this,
Al. Thank you very much.
I know. I told this on the show, but Chuck already knows this. But my brother and I have hooked up and played this online before, and he's also into Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent more time playing it. So when we start, he's like, "You be the captain. You understand the game better." And he would jump around. The nice thing is, when you're in the game, you can change positions.
Okay.
So if you start off at helm, you're not stuck there. You can switch over to tactical. Or engineering or whatever. And same thing with the captain, you can move around. But my brother's like, so he's jumping around. He liked helm the most, but he was kind of jumping around all the other different things. But as I'm giving orders, he's like, yes, captain. And he's like, this is my older brother. And so that was like really strange to me. You know,
got into it, man.
I know. And yes,
he got into it. He was enjoying it.
Yes. Yeah. Warp one, engage.
All right. Well, I know that over the weekend you were telling me that you checked out the new Twilight Zone.
I did.
And that you've seen Captain Marvel. We haven't even touched on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because last week was real busy. So we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about that and more. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio everywhere. We have this. Yeah, let me try that again. Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio wherever you're getting your podcasts on the B-Pod Studios Network. Shut up, Al! I'm a professional!
I love a
blow. Now we'll see if he edits out the slip up. Keeps it in there.
Oh, God, no. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm laughing. If Chuck really wanted revenge, all he'd have to put up is the uncut version of a commercial we did together.
That's true.
Because I can't read.
Woo!
It was rough.
Find us on social media, Nerd Radio 101. Al Beck.
Yeah, that's me.
How was Captain Marvel?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I mean, honestly, the review that James had given, I can't really offer anything more or less than that. It was fun.
Yeah.
Wasn't my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I see where you were coming from, that it was the most Disney of them.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have walked away from that on my own without it already being my brain.
I planted like, that seed, huh?
You did. I mean, like, I was sitting there watching and going like, no, I can see where he's coming from, but I wouldn't have come up with that thought on my own.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Mickey Mouse is coming out, you know, with the Mickey Mouse Club singing,
how's it going?
Yeah, singing songs or whatever. I was trying to think of the lyrics of the
Don't
song
that, you'll
sing
get sued.
At the end.
Oh, that's true.
Now it's time to say goodbye. You know, that doesn't happen in the movie, but it still has like a very Disney feeling to it.
So. Right.
But no, it was nice. It was it was fun. I mean,
I think it sets her up nicely.
Yeah.
In the same way that when Black Panther showed up in Civil War, like it set him up nicely for like, okay, now I do kind of want to see more of that.
Yeah.
You know, after by the end of Captain Marvel's like, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see her Endgame playing with all the other heroes. It'll be kind of fun. And we do have the Endgame stuff coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason why I made sure to go and see it. Honestly, if I had waited until Blu-ray came out, I would have been fine with it.
Right.
You know, I would have done felt the same about Shazam, but we went to the premiere.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because you saw those within like a week of each other.
Yeah. No, days. There was the back-to-back
days. Same day, because,
It was a day,
Because I was like, I wonder if the guy at the concession stand is going to recognize Al. Like, oh, you're back again for another movie, huh?
I was there Monday night. Popcorn? And then kind of last minute, we were here after the show on Tuesday, and James was like, hey, I got an extra spot. You want to go?
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Well, guess
so. Same theater the day before.
Nice. So, I mean, between the two of them, was there one you liked more? I just want to make the listeners tweet you angrily about whichever one you like more.
Honestly, I probably liked Captain Marvel more.
You heard that. He hated Shazam.
Clickbait. But I'll tell you, though, I was so pleasantly surprised with how I enjoyed Shazam.
Yeah.
I mentioned this last week when we did our review that my one complaint about the thing was that it was a little too much of a 14-year-old adult in Shazam for me. And it was sort of like, all right, please stop doing that. I didn't have any of that in Captain Marvel at all.
Well,
so
no.
That alone, Captain Marvel's going to beat Shazam for me.
Okay. But, just interesting.
But yeah, you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't home this weekend. I was house sitting for my sister, so I didn't get a chance. I wanted to watch Aquaman over the weekend, didn't get to it. I need to get to that.
You gotta watch Into the Spider-Verse.
I need to watch that too.
I was talking to you Monday morning. You were like, oh, I bought it on my iTunes, but I haven't watched it yet. You gotta watch it. Yeah. It's all good.
I know. So it's both on the list. But I mean, point to bringing up Aquaman was Shazam was the most fun DC movie I'd seen so far.
Yeah.
Aquaman was a little more fun.
I liked Aquaman, yeah.
Would you call it fun?
I'd say it's fun. I mean, for me, I got caught up with Aquaman with the special effects of them being underwater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The hair's always waving around.
Like, what? And then Dolph Lundgren's hair. I was like, what? Like, that was, I found Dolph's hair very distracting in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Aquaman was fun. It was cool. You know. I would say if I'm comparing the three, I'd go Aquaman, Captain Marvel, Shazam.
You heard that. You heard it here first. James and Albeck both hated Shazam.
Yes. This is too Christmassy. Yeah. Get your Christmas out of my DC comics.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, too, you were telling me that you watched The Twilight Zone.
I did.
And you were real excited to talk about it.
I was very happy about it.
Okay. How many episodes so far?
Let's see. Well,
do they have more than one? Is it... Like, can you stream it? Is it on like a streaming service, or is it on network?
CBS All Access?
Oh, okay.
So it's one of those, which I have because there was no way in hell I was missing Star Trek. So they already wrote me in. So now I'm actually really happy because some of the other All Access original shows that they've put out there,
not quite doing it for you.
Haven't been interested in.
You understand why they're on a streaming service instead of just.
And the extra stuff that they offer, you know, some of the, like, there's some classic TV shows I could see myself watching, but I get that on Hulu. I've got that on Netflix.
Right.
Star Trek is the only thing on CBS All Access
that you can only get there.
And I'm a Star Trek fiend, so I had to have it. And so it's been kind of bugging me that I'm spending all this
stupid
money.
All right.
Yeah, well. Talk about the helmsman again. I couldn't miss Star Trek, so I'm spending all this money on this stupid service, and they get nothing else for me to watch but other than Star Trek, which I have already nerd raged about this season. So I'm not even like that crazy about this season of Star Trek, and then Twilight Zone comes out, and I'm like, something else making my money worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Peele is in the Rod Sterling type of role.
Yep.
You know, he does the intro and the outro, and
they
still
do it like a weird voice.
He does kind of have this like kind of dry delivery, very Rod Sterling-esque. So to the point where like Twilight Zone super fans, I don't know if they'll be happy or upset about it. Because I can see them being like, wow, he's doing right by Rod Sterling. Or, hey, like that's his delivery. You're ripping him off.
Oh, right.
I can see a Twilight Zone fanatic going one way or the other. You're either ripping him off or you're doing him right. Because it feels very much the same.
Yeah.
And the show itself feels very much the same.
I heard that one of the big changes is that there is like an overarching plot in the season instead of it just being these one-off.
Okay, well, if that is the case, they'll tie it in some crazy way towards the end because there's two episodes in. It's a Friday show. That's why I kind of paused earlier because I was thinking, like, well, by the time this posts, there might be a third episode.
Right.
But episode one and two seemingly had nothing to do with each other. So if they tie those together, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it'll be an interesting way.
And I heard the first episode is essentially a new version of what is it? The terror at 30,000 feet? The airplane thing that everybody remembers William Shatner? Okay. Oh, that's the second episode?
Yeah, the second episode. And some of the actors that they got are pretty great. And it's, again, totally different cast from episode one to episode two.
Okay.
But episode one is called The Comedian. I don't want to give away too much of the plot lines, but you got Kumail Nanjiani, who's a great comedian. He's a Silicon Valley, the Pakistani from Silicon Valley.
He's also at WrestleMania cheering on Batista.
Yes, he was.
I saw him.
Yeah.
So Kumail is the star in that episode. He gets advice from like a ghostly famous comedian who's played by Tracy Morgan.
Oh, cool.
You know, so like you get the airplane episode, the main character is Adam Scott.
Yeah. From Parks and Rec.
From Parks and Rec. Yeah. And he basically that storyline is he finds this MP3 player in the flight in like the pocket in the seat in front of him and he starts listening to it. And it's a podcast about the flight that he's on, telling the history of how it crashed. And so he's sitting here listening to this thing and it's telling and it's giving all these details about the flight that it's clearly this flight.
Yeah.
But the cool thing was the podcast he's listening to was voiced by Dan Carlin, who's a big podcaster guy. He does the hardcore history, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
So he's like they went and got this like big podcasting dude and that kind of fit the theme of what they were talking about and got him to voice the thing. And then there was another guy from Silicon Valley. Remember I don't remember the character's name, but the billionaire, the one who's like
kind of the douchey one?
The douchey one who like is super obsessed with.
I don't know his name either. Yeah. But I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he ends up like dropping below a billion. He has to trade in for another fancy car because he can't have one.
He's like a venture capitalist, that guy.
Okay. Yeah. But he's in that episode too, and he's great.
He's very funny in Silicon Valley.
Very funny, yeah. So he's in it.
I love the concepts of both of those.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to borrow your CBS access.
Yeah,
yeah, I do like that.
I need to watch that.
They're bringing in like stuff that relates to podcasts and things like. I like seeing things that we're dealing with on normal day to day stuff. That's a regular thing,
right?
And incorporated into things like that.
It makes me wonder how much of Black Mirror has had an influence on it because Black Mirror is very much like on Netflix is very much like a British
modern
Twilight Zone. What if technology were evil? Of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, Black Mirror has the ongoing theme throughout all the episodes, beware technology.
Right. Whereas like this is different, you know, from episode to episode.
This is different stuff. Like, the brief sort of synopsis of the Kumail episode, he's a comedian. He's struggling. No one really is reacting to his material. He meets the Tracy Morgan character who gives him advice. This all happens right at the beginning, so it's really not spoiling the whole thing.
Right.
Gives him advice to put yourself out there on stage. But, you know, like once you put it out there, you can't get it back. When he goes up there and he starts telling does a bit about his dog.
Yeah.
And he goes home and the dog's missing and his girlfriend has never even heard of this dog. And it turns out like as anything he talks about on stage, he'll get a laugh, but it erases it like it never happened.
Good Lord.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So it's like the price of fame. What are you willing to pay? How far are you willing to go?
The heck with getting your login information when you're not using it. I may have to get CBS All Access. This sounds amazing.
Oh, it blew my mind, and I'm a big Kumail fan. So like already, I'm like I don't remember what I was doing. I was doing something at my sister's house, and I was like, oh yeah, the new Twilight Zone.
He was pooping. He was pooping. You see the way he flipped that newspaper open? He was pooping.
It was my remote.
You pantomimed opening up a newspaper that looked like to me.
So I was like, oh, yeah, that new Twilight Zone. Maybe I'll start an episode before I go. I don't know. It might have been when I went to my cousin's house or whatever. But I put it on, and Kumail shows up. I'm like, nope, I need to save this for when I'm not going to stop it halfway through. And I ended up watching both episodes back to back and loved it. But the Black Mirror is very definitely influenced by the Twilight Zone. This is the Twilight Zone, just modern.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought Jordan Peele did a great job.
That's awesome.
Really great job.
Because he's involved, like, he's either got, like, a producing credit or he's behind a lot of the episodes or writing or something. He's not just the host, correct?
Correct. I believe. Awesome. Yeah, to my knowledge, he is. Yeah.
It's just crazy how he goes from sketch comedy guy to now he's got his fingers in,
you know,
like that, whatever, Twilight Zone, weird, paranormal, thriller type stuff.
It feels like if you work in horror, like a lot of people who work in horror love horror.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know.
They like live in coffins and, you know, they sleep in
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, like they sleep in coffins, they live in funeral homes.
Right.
That type of stuff.
There was a guy who used to work here, used to drive around in a hearse.
What?
Yeah. James knows him. It's his next door neighbor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I forgot he used to have a hearse.
I remember having a hearse. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I forgot he used to have that. Yeah, he's into some dark stuff. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. He's a great guy.
He's a big fan of Aleister Black.
Yeah, he probably is. He would be.
Imagine everyone else in that neighborhood. Next door neighbors are James and the guy with
and the guy with the hearse.
Yeah, you got the guy in the front yard mowing the lawn and a man thong with a giant wooden penis in the backyard.
You know what?
The hearse guy.
You guys keep living your best life. If you bring property values down enough, I can afford to move in too.
Hey, we're working on it. Yeah. We're working on it. I got somebody across the street about to leave.
All right.
I'll send you the address.
You got that the sex doll brothel coming in.
Yeah, I mean, things are looking up in my city.
Quite the neighborhood.
That'd be awesome.
Did I hear about a sex doll brothel?
No, I'm not even making that up. That's a real thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's legitimate. It's where you pay to have sex with sex dolls.
Yeah, that I know. I understand the concept. Okay. I just didn't know that it
was. Maybe the listeners didn't understand. What's a sex doll brothel? Well, it's a place where you go and you pay money and you have an intimate time with a doll.
Look, it's nerd radio. If anybody knows the concept of sex doll brothels, it's nerds.
You gotta let people know that this is coming to my city so that way they can come spend their money.
Yeah, right. They're looking for the petition to sign.
Yes. Which I might need to do.
On an unrelated note.
I hope so.
Did you hear Preacher's ending after the season?
I did not.
Yeah, fourth season is going to be the last one Seth Rogen announced, and it starts August the 4th.
Okay.
So they've done four seasons already?
Yeah, this will be the fourth one. And considering where they are in the chronology of the actual story, they're going to have to do a lot of stuff to wrap it up.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not...
They're going to have to fast forward to a lot of stuff. I don't know that... I'm not, you know, upset that it's ending. Because it's not exactly the Preacher I read in the comic books. I'm glad it happened.
Yes, I agree with all of that. And even looking back in the fact that you and I pretty much been in the same boat for the entire series. Loved season one.
Yeah.
Season two came out, to the point where we watched it and almost both of us, I think, almost bailed on season three. Like, I'm just not that interested. And then
season three was kind of where it picked up.
Yeah, and we were both happy with season three. Hair Star was great.
Right, and they did Grandma and Jody and TC, and that was really cool.
What's his name from All American Rejects?
Played
the singer.
Yeah, Tyson Ritter. Yeah, he was quite a character.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so this will be our last year of Preacher on your television.
Do you know about The Boys? Is The Boys happening?
Let me look it up. It's an Amazon.
Is it a Prime
show?
Amazon Prime show. Okay, because that's the I would love. Well, I mean, I hope it's.
It is happening because remember we had the news a couple of months ago that.
I thought it was supposed to be this year, wasn't it? Sometime.
I think you're right.
I think
Amazon
so.
Amazon Prime Video. Garth Ennis, Seth Robertson. Seth Rogen's attached to this, too.
Oh, is he?
Which is interesting. But Simon Pegg is not playing Wee Huey.
I know.
He's playing Huey's dad.
Oh, he is in it, though?
He is in it.
Oh, okay.
He's playing Huey's dad, so that's going to be kind of fun.
So, backstory for anyone who isn't familiar with The Boys or the Simon Pegg thing. So, The Boys, comic series written by Garth Ennis. He and Derek Robertson? Was that the...
Yes. Derek Robertson was the artist.
Yeah, something... Braun took over for him, but
Eric, I think
Russ.
No,
Eric was an instructor at Specs
Eric
Hour.
Braun is our instructor.
I think
Specs
Russ
Hours.
Braun or something.
Russ Braun.
Yeah, Russ Braun took over. But anyway, Derek Roberts and Garth Ennis were big fans of Simon Pegg before anyone really knew who he was. He was on some Scottish TV show or whatever.
Yeah, he was on a weird show.
Yeah, and so
Spaced.
Yeah, this
Spaced,
is
that's what it was.
If you haven't seen it, you probably should.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, right?
I think before Hot Fuzz, before Shaun of the Dead, before people really he was on radar.
Yeah, because it was directed by the guy who does Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim and stuff. No, Nick Frost is the other guy.
Oh, okay. I thought they always switch. Whatever.
But the main character in the series, Wee Huey. The writer and artist were such a big fan of Simon Pegg that they specifically drew this character to look like Simon Pegg.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, you know, you're reading this and it's all like original character. They all look like
for
whatever.
For 6 years, I'm reading a comic book with Simon Pegg in it.
Simon Pegg.
That's awesome.
And so, like, we've always said, like, I want to see a boys movie where they've got to cast Simon Pegg in this role. And Simon Pegg's a big comic book nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's even, I've seen him write forwards for trade paperbacks about, yeah, you know, stuff. And so I feel like as long as he didn't have schedule conflicts, he'd be in. And obviously that's what's happening here. He's not available enough to play Wee Huey, but he's like, yeah, I'll be his dad.
Right.
So that's super cool. I love that he's involved in this.
According to what I've looked up while you were talking,
which could never end.
The closest thing I can find is summer 2019. There's not an exact release date, but summer 2019. So I'm looking forward to it because it's essentially what if superheroes were a bunch of dicks? What if the Justice League were a bunch of jerks?
Yep.
What if and every arc of this comic, like remember the X-Men arc? What if the X-Men were a bunch of jerks?
Switch!
What if the Avengers were a bunch of jerks? It's like every arc of the comic was taken.
To tease the X-Men thing, imagine they're called the G-Men.
Yeah.
And imagine an X-Men gangbang. That was basically the story arc.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll definitely look forward to The Boys and looking forward to seeing what they do for the last season of Preacher. Like I said, I'm kind of hoping that they kind of fast forward through a lot of stuff instead of trying to spend an entire season in one particular setting with one particular story.
Yeah.
Because if you follow the comics, there's like almost over half of the trade paperbacks still haven't even happened in the show.
That's true.
Speaking of comics, one more thing I want to hit on before we leave, because I just heard this story yesterday and it makes me laugh. So you may be aware, Rob Liefeld,
mm-hmm,
guy who created Deadpool, artist, writer, he's got a new comic at Marvel called Major X.
Okay.
Just came out a couple of weeks ago.
I'm not aware of this.
He's drawing it. I think he's writing it too. It's a brand new character he's created for Marvel. First new character he's created for him in like 20 something years or something like that. So, he does this Major X number one and has before Major X number one comes out, because Major X number one should be the first appearance of the character, he gets Marvel to commission some Deadpool variants that he draws of Major X to try and make that the first appearance of the character that he then sells. Rob Liefeld then sells on his website for $100 a pop.
Okay.
So he's looking to sign into something like that.
So basically he's looking for licensing from Marvel to do that?
No, he's like, look, I'm going to create this character for you. We're going to do this miniseries, but what I want you guys to commission some variant covers that I will draw, and then I will sell them.
Gotcha.
Variants of Deadpool number 10.
Gotcha.
Okay. So the week before Major X number one comes out, because the way comic collecting works, like the first appearance isn't technically the cover. It's when the guy shows up in the interior.
Yeah.
So the first appearance would be Major X number one, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The week before, uh-oh, in Spider-Man Deadpool number 47, Major X is in the background.
I have the first appearance!
You got it all, man. You got Batman's dong. You got the first appearance of Mr. X or whatever.
Major X. From what I understand, the guy at the comic store was telling me the story, and I had to look. From what I understand happened is this Major X number one was supposed to come out either that week or the week before.
Oh, no.
So it would be the first appearance. And this book came out, and somebody online discovered it and posted something about it. And Rob Liefeld has said he will never, ever sign that book. He refuses to believe that is the first appearance of this character. Because
boo.
The first appearance was supposed to be the book that I was going to sell for $100 a pop in all my appearances on this cover. That first appearance right now is going for about $50.
Really?
Yep.
Look at you with the big bucks in your pocket. There you go.
I can retire on Bat Dongs and Mr. X.
Yeah. $50 a pop.
Now I really wish I hadn't taken the redeem code thing off.
Oh, no.
That's okay. I never would have sold it anyway.
Right. For sure.
I just looked. It said number 47, right?
Deadpool of Spider-Man versus Deadpool, number 47.
I just looked because I always redeem it.
Yep.
And I looked at my iPad, and I do have the digital version of that, which means I have the hard copy, too.
See, there you go.
But I think you're probably right, you know, because, like, Marvel for years now has done this thing where there's a code inside, and you can redeem it for a digital version of the comic that you just bought.
Okay, just like when you buy a Blu-ray movie now.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Okay. Exactly like that. And so I always do that because I know I'm never going to sell this stuff, or at least not expecting any profit or whatever. That's not why I buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I can take it on my iPad. I go fly out to visit my brother. I've got all the comics I want.
But that shouldn't devalue the comic, right?
Yeah, I think it will... still be valuable, but it will increase I think Chuck is right. It'll increase the value if you haven't redeemed the code because there's a little sticker over the code.
You have to pull off the thing.
But yeah. It doesn't like expire after a certain amount of time?
It does.
That's the thing. It does.
After
like originally when they started doing that, I was like, well, I'm never peeling these off because that's going to devalue the comic.
Yeah.
But then I started noticing it. I was like, no, if you don't redeem them within a year, then that code is worthless anyway. So I don't think it's actually going to.
This is like a first world nerd problem here, huh?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Well, I could see it going like it's $50 right now. And I mean, maybe that's the.
It'll be only like, worth 20.
It'll be like 45. Yeah.
Right. Maybe. I think it will affect the value. And depending on, you know, how big of an issue we're talking about, you know, the larger the price, the. You know, the bigger the gap.
The more.
So now when you get your comic graded, they're going to knock you down a couple points.
If you flip through it and make sure if it's there or not.
Yeah.
Because it does feel a little bit like if, you know, like the kid did the maze with his crayon.
Yeah. You know,
like, I did all the mazes.
Right. But.
What? This is worth money? Sorry.
Yeah. So, like, I think, you know, you could probably, if you had, I don't know, we'll just use that as an example. If you had, like, the first appearance of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And there was a maze that you did, but everything else is in good condition. Like, it's still going to be worth money.
Still gonna
be
worth,
but not as much because it's been drawn on.
Right.
So.
Like that Amazing Fantasy 15 of Spider-Man. Like, yeah you wrote your name on the first page of the book.
Right.
But, it's the difference between like 10 grand and 8 grand.
Right.
That's in my world, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, that's where I want to leave you with some bad luck for Rob Liefeld there. Cause that makes me laugh. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
That's your ha ha moment.
Right. So,
I can't wish too much on him because he gave us Deadpool. And
that's true.
And that's my character.
Yeah,
right
well,
there.
That's what I was going to say. Remember this when he comes to like Motor City Comic Con in a couple months and I have the opportunity to interview him. He's like, oh, yeah, I heard your podcast. No, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
Or you get that whole interview set up, and me and Al show up. We're like, hey. Listen to this.
I was going to say, if there's one thing that he's not going to hear, it's this podcast. I think we're safe.
We're going to play it for him. I got a Bluetooth speaker. I'll bring it in.
Only if it's a hostage situation will we get to listen to this podcast.
Well, I'm glad that you listening to this podcast have listened to this podcast. Make sure to rate.
Our delightful, beloved hostages. Thank you.
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, this is, yes.
Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and send us all your fun tweets at
Nerd Radio 101. Brought to you by Stockholm Syndrome.
I'll talk to you jerks next week.
Ah, to hell with you.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
My uterus has been killing me. I'm over
sorry.
It. I hate lady things. You're so lucky with your penises and no... Ugh.
I really hope you're recording that.
Oh, yeah. No, I got that.
There we go.
I got that. I don't know if it's useful at all, but I got it.
You
got
to put it at the beginning or something cold open. There you go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.